And all God's children said, wow. Amen. Again, we are grateful to be back with you and so very thankful for what the Lord has done and what He is doing. But it kind of looks like here from the crowd, maybe the word got out I was going to be back today. Anyhow, I'm thankful that you are here today and thankful for this opportunity. If you have a copy of God's Word, would you turn with me to a very familiar passage? I've been there oftentimes, but I want to go back there today in John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4, we'll be reading here in verses 7, beginning there and reading several verses in this account of the Samaritan woman, or the woman at the well, as most of us know her, in John chapter 4. While you're turning there, I just want to say thank you for praying for us, and your prayers were heard, and God just worked the whole time that we were gone, and we were to, we always set a pretty aggressive agenda. When we go to the Philippines, we were able to accomplish, I think, all but one stop, and so we got into some schools and some different villages and were able to just minister God's Word in a lot of places. And so we're thankful for that. We'll be giving a full report on that maybe next Sunday night, and I will endeavor to have it ready by then. And so you'll get opportunity to get some a fresh new look at what's going on in our work in the Philippines. And hear from Pam and all of her experiences, and she had a great experience too, by the way, as we went this year. So she'll be telling you all about that, won't you, dear? There you go. So, yeah. Well, I'm glad she agreed with that. But anyway, I'm thankful for all of you that just stepped up, stepped in, and did the work. And Brother Tracy teaching on Wednesday nights, and Brother Carey doing the Sunday school, and Miss Mary and Miss Jackie, Pam's teaching Pam's Sunday school class, and all of you that just stepped up while we were gone, I appreciate you very much. John chapter number 4, and anybody got a word to share this morning before I preach? Stand with us, please, as we read from John chapter number 4. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said that I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that is in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled, and he talked with a woman, and no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your word that is alive and powerful. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that helps us to understand and, Lord, to receive what you have for us through your word. And God, we pray for the power of the Holy Ghost now to move right in our own lives. God, touch our minds that, Father, we'll be able to think the right thoughts. God, touch our hearts that we might be able to receive the message that you have for us today. And God, I pray that you move in us that we might respond in a way that you'd have us to respond. Lord, I ask you if there's any lost in this building today as they hear this word, that, Lord, they too, like this woman, might yield to you, believe in you, trust in you, be changed, be saved. God, I pray that those that are backslidden today and those that have walked out and Lord, given up on faith, Lord, I pray that, God, as you have saved them, that you would draw them back and, Lord, you just make them miserable in their sin today, that they might repent and come back and be renewed in their first love and first passion. And, God, we ask you today that you speak to each of us. Lord, I pray that you encourage and challenge us by your word and by your spirit. We pray, Father, for those that are unable to be here today, and we ask that you help them. God, for those that were unconcerned, that you move in their lives to draw them. But Lord, we pray that today you would use this message to work in our lives your perfect will and your good pleasure. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. This morning, I'd like for us to center in on the call of God. The call of God. Now, all of us can remember at some point in time when we were waiting on a call and perhaps anticipating a phone call, and we were there, and before the days of cell phone, you kind of stayed at home. Amen. Isn't that a terrible thing that you have to stay at home to get a call? But anyway, you used to have to stay at home to get a call. So, you know, if you were going to be away from the phone, or if you're going to walk outside or something, if you were waiting on that call, you wanted to make sure that somebody was in there because you were anticipating a call, and more than likely you were anticipating good news. Maybe you were anticipating that there was going to be someone that you had interviewed for, was going to call you and let you know that you got the job, amen, or you got the position, or you got the promotion that was coming your way. Maybe someone that you were that you loved, cared about, was having some medical procedure, and you were waiting on that call for someone to call and say, "Hey, they made it just fine, and everything is all right." You were anticipating the call, and you were listening for the call. But friends, I want you to just think about for a moment today the call of God. The call of God. Many times in our life, we're not really anticipating the call of God. Amen? We're not anticipating when God is going to begin to move in our lives. And I want you to see that today. As this woman went to the well that day, that woman of Samaria, she went to the well. She was just in her everyday activities. Amen? She was just doing what she did every day to go and draw water from that well. If you've ever been to any place that doesn't have running water and all those things, you can appreciate this a little bit more. And some of you might be old enough to remember when you didn't have running water and you went to the spring maybe, but every one of us has heard those stories. But she had to go every day. It was just a routine. And so she was in her every day. And I think that's one of the points here that we need to see, is that it was just her everyday life that she was going on and she was doing. And it wasn't that she anticipated. It wasn't that she woke up that morning saying, "You know what? I think something wonderful is going to happen to me today. I think maybe I'm going to run into the Son of God today." No. She was just going about her everyday duties and activities, and she went to this well to draw water. And when she came up to that well, all of a sudden, she ran into this very particular man, and this man being a Jew, and boy, it just seemed so odd that he would say something to her. That day, she got the call of God. Now, I want to share with you just a few things about the call of God. First of all, I want us to think and see that the call of God always confronts us. It always confronts us. Amen. The call of God is always something in our life that causes us to search or to look inside of where we are. And when the call of God came to this woman, and he asked her just a very simple thing on the flesh side of matters, he said, "Would you give me a drink? Would you give me a drink? Would you give me of what you have?" She had drawn some water perhaps from that well and had it there. And Jesus says to her, "Would you give me what you have?" You know what? That's what the call of God is about in our life. It confronts us to bring ourselves to Him. Amen. We know that nobody can get to God the Father except through God the Son. And nobody can come to God the Son except the Holy Spirit do what? Draw them. Except the Holy Spirit work in our lives and begin to show us that there is a Savior, that there is a God, that there is something better above and beyond who we are and what we are in our life. And so he just simply said to her, "Give me what you have." Friends, I want to tell you that whenever God calls us, he calls us right in the midst of where we are in our life. Amen. He calls us right in the midst of things that we are doing, right in the midst of everyday life. It's not that we're just going to be set aside one day in the future where God is going to call us. It's not that one day we're going to mark it on our calendar that you know what, I'm going to get my life in order because God's going to extend a call to me on this day. No, God's call confronts us. It confronts us right where we are. It confronts us with right in the things that we are doing. And God calls us, God's call confronts us to bring ourselves to Him. To bring ourselves to Him. Now, friends, every one of us know that we can't get to God. We can't get to God. He's higher than we are. He is holy. We are sinful. And we certainly can't get to Him. And this woman began to feel the very same essence here with Jesus. And the woman of Samaria, she said, I'm a woman and you're a man, first of all, and then you're a Jew next to that. And why in the world would you even talk to me? The call of God confronts us where we are, and it causes us to see ourselves as we are. And this woman seen herself as society would have it that day. She's seen herself of that lower class as a Samaritan. She's seen herself as that lower person as being used by men as she was, and being lower than men. She saw herself in that direction, and she saw this man, this male, a Jew, that was asking her to give him a drink of water. And she is saying, how in the world can you ever talk to me? Friends, I want to say, when God's call comes to us, whenever it comes in reality, and we begin to understand that God, through the Holy Spirit, is moving in us, friends, I want you to see that He shows us where we are in life, and that it's an awesome privilege for God to call on us. I mean, who are we? That holy God who knows no sin, who is the very standard of perfection and righteousness, would extend a call to us. My goodness, who are we anyway? And that's what this woman was feeling. Why would you ask me? Why would God want me? Why would God want me in all my imperfections? Why, what good could I do? I can't live a Christian life. I can't do the church thing like everybody else does. I can't be the person that grandma was or grandpa was. I can't do those things. Why God, call me? You see, that's what the woman was feeling, because it confronted her with who she was. Friends, I want to tell you something. Every one of us and every person that's ever felt the call of God has known that they were sinners before a holy God. Amen? And all that God ever called were sinners. Hello, are y'all with me? Amen? Are you still awake today? All that God ever called were sinners, because all men have sinned and what comes short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. Jesus had plainly said further in his ministry that he had come to call the sick, because those that are well have no need of a physician. He called the unrighteous because the righteous have no need of the call of God. They're right in their own eyes. But God called this woman, and she began to just say, you know, you don't have any dealings with Samaritans. And then Jesus answered her and said, if thou knewest the gift of God. Boy, the call of God, as it confronts our life, it begins to let us know that there is something more that God has for us. Amen. As it confronts us where we are in life and the things that we are doing, it begins to reveal that there is something more to life than the mundane, everyday trip to the well to get the water to drink. Amen. And he said, oh, if you just knew. If you just knew the gift of God, and if you just knew who it is that's really speaking to you. If your eyes could just be open to that and said, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask him, and he would have given thee living water. The call of God, when it confronts us, friends, it brings us to a place where that we can begin to see and understand things of the Spirit. Because of the flesh, we can't understand those things. But God, by His infinite mercy, begins to crack our brain, if you will, and to move in our heart and to crush it so that we can begin to receive those spiritual things. And so He says to this woman, if you could just know the gift of God, if you could just know who it is that asked you for a drink, you wouldn't be worried about giving me a drink. You'd be worried about asking what I could give you. Amen? What I could do for you. And friends, when we begin to see ourselves and we begin to see God for who He is in our life, and the call of God confronts us, when we respond in faith and in the right way to God, we begin to say, Lord, I don't have anything to offer you. Here I am, but I want everything you have. Amen. I want everything that you have for me. And so she said to him, well, sir, you don't have anything to draw with, and the well is deep. And so there's still this effort. And friends, I don't know very many people when God just kind of spoke to them right at the beginning, they just said, okay, yes, and that's it. Most everybody I know, and rightly so, because the Scripture says that we ought to count the cost. Amen. We ought to count the cost of what's going on. We ought to weigh what's going on. And this woman is weighing out what she's hearing from it. And like I said, you have to remember, she's what? She's on her everyday routine. She's doing things. And now this strange event is happening. And she's trying to figure it out. She said, man, you don't even have a well bucket here. You don't have something to get the water out. Are you greater than the one who made this well? Call of God confronted her in her life right where she was with the physical elements that was around her, and she began to have to put it all in perspective of who she was and who God is, and art thou greater than Jacob, and gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water athirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be a well springing up into everlasting life. He is drawing this woman's attention. Friends, I want to tell you something. When we come to God, he has to draw us out of the flesh. He has to draw us out of where we are. How does he do that? He begins to work in our lives so that we can see who we are and where we are, and what we are doing is all futile in the eyes of who he is and what he has for us. And so she begins to quiz him, and he begins to answer, and he says, if you could just begin to move your thoughts now from this water, that's simply where he opened the call, my friends, but now he's moving her. If you could just begin to see and receive what I have for you, you could have everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither came here to draw. Here's someone who's open to it. I mean, you ask folks, you want to go to heaven? I don't know very many. I have had a few folks. Now, I just had to be honest. I have had a very few folks tell me, no, I don't believe none of that junk. But most folks, you say, you know what, you want to go to heaven? Yep. Amen. Do you want to go right now? Nope. But most folks want to get to heaven. Amen. Most folks want the blessings of God. And so this woman was the same way. When Jesus said to her, this call confronted her in her life, and she began to see, and he began to talk about everlasting life. Oh, yeah, I want it. I want it. But what did Jesus say? Okay, you got it? No. No. Jesus said, go call your husband. Not so fast. If you knew the gift of God, you'd ask me and I'd give it to you. If you drink of the water that I have for you, you can have eternal life. She said, okay, I want it. He said, not so fast. Not so fast. Go call your husband. Now, ladies, that doesn't mean you can't get saved before without your husband. Amen. What does it mean? It means that the call of God not only confronts us in where we are in life and what we're doing and who we are in life, but it also confronts our sin. You see, friends, for too long, listen to me, too long in our history, especially of Southern Baptists, we engaged in easy believism. Now, I know we didn't mean to, but we engaged in easy believism. Which means that what we've done is a lot of times we've knocked on doors or we've given people a track and we say, you know what, God loves you and he wants to forgive you of sin and he wants to give you eternal life and he wants you to go to heaven and be in heaven with him. Do you want to go to heaven? Well, yeah. Do you want Jesus to be your Savior? Well, yeah. Okay, pray this prayer. And what happened was, is somewhere along the way, we didn't quite do what Jesus did here. The call of God had to confront her in who she was and where she was in life and what she was doing in life, but it also had to confront her with her sin. Friends, I want to tell you something. Before any of us can ever be saved, we have to understand we are sinners. And we have sinned and transgressed against God. I mean, we have to know that more than just a head knowledge, more than just a, yes, I want to go to heaven. Yes, I want to have eternal life. I want forgiveness of my sin. It has to be that we realize we have transgressed God's holiness. Because, see, the Scripture says not only that all have sinned, but it said all have come short of the glory of God. Every one of us in our lives have sinned, and we have offended the very glory of God. It's not to be taken lightly. The call of God has to confront our sin. We have to see ourselves as sinners. We have to see ourselves as offending God in who we are and what we are and how that we have lived our life and the choices that we have made, the decisions we've made, and moreover, the condition of our heart. And so he tells this woman, go call your husband. You know the answer. She said, I don't have one. He said, no, you don't have one now, and you've had five. And then the guy that you're living with now, the guy you shacked up with now, he's not your husband. She said, wow, I perceive you're a prophet. Isn't that awesome? You know why? Because the call of God confronted her with her sin. Let me tell you, if you went through some prayer, if you went through some religious exercise, if you went through some study, some church ordinance, if you went through baptism, if you went through any of that, and the call of God never confronted your sin, and you never seen the very power of God putting His finger in your heart that you had sinned against Him, friend, you better check your salvation. You say, well, preacher, you're trying to get me to doubt my salvation. No, if you're saved, you shouldn't doubt it. Amen? You should examine yourself and see and know and understand the power of God that's worked in your life. But you ought to know by the power of God, you've been born unto Him. The call of God confronts our sin. And it draws us, it calls us to deal with that sin. And the only way that we can deal with that sin is repentance. And so he calls her and he confronts her now with a sin. The woman says, I perceive that you're a prophet. And then she goes right in. All of a sudden she sees him as this religious entity. And the next thing she starts talking about is what? Religion. Amen? Well, I'm a Baptist. Well, I'm a member of Wilder Baptist Church. So what? I'm a member of First Baptist in Dallas. So what? I'm a member of the Catholic Church. So what? I'm a member of the Methodist Church. So what? I've been baptized 14 times, sprinkled 37 times. I'm a Christian. Amen? No, you're lost if you're not saved. By the very blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, having repented of your sin, having believed with all of your heart. The woman says, I believe that you're a prophet. And then she goes on to say, here's what our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but you say Jerusalem is the place to worship. And Jesus said, woman, believe me. Believe me. Believe me that the hour is coming and you, when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor at Jerusalem, worship the Father. The call of God confronts us in our religious activity and it points us to a relationship with Him. Amen? You see, religion is man's attempt to get to God. Hello? Salvation is when God reaches down in a person's heart and draws them to Himself, and that person just gives up and says, I can't get to God. Here I am. Amen? Here I am. And the Lord Jesus births us again, and we have a relationship with Him But friends, I want to tell you something. There's going to be a whole multitude of religious people in hell. And I don't care. Listen. There's a whole lot of folks I'm talking about within the Christian religion. There's a lot of religions, amen. But within the Christian religion, a lot of folks going to wind up in hell. Why? Because, friends, it's that thought of I did all the checks. I checked off all the blocks. I made all the markers. I did the works. I've done the things that they asked me to do. Friends, you can be a good Baptist and go straight to hell. You see, we need a relationship. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the call of God confronted her in her sin, and he confronted her with this religious notion that she had, that she could go someplace in some building and do some form of liturgy and walk away and be okay. Unfortunately, the devil's still dealing that lie out. He's still dealing it out that you can go and you can be and you can see and you can experience and you can jump up and down and hallelujah in Jesus' name and walk out the door and still be lost as a ball in high weeds, amen, as Jack Daniels used to say. We need Jesus. And the real call of God confronts us with our religious concepts. Do I think we ought to be religious? Yes, I think we ought to be religious. Amen. But I think we ought to be saved first. Hello, are y'all with me? I think we ought to be committed. I think we ought to be committed to the church family and committed to the work within the realm of that church for the furtherance of the gospel and all of those things. But friends, first of all, we need a relationship with God. And if that's missing, all the rest of it is wood, hay, and stubble. Jesus said there's going to be many come before me on judgment day when that they'll come and say, oh, but Lord, didn't we do all of these things in your name? And he said, depart from me. I never knew you. Why? They had religion. They didn't have a relationship. The call of God confronts us in our religious views. And so he told her, worship the Father. You don't know what you're worshiping now. Why? She didn't have a relationship. Folks are going through all sorts of exercises today, right in our nation, right around us. They're going through all sorts of religious exercises, and they don't have a clue what they are doing. You say, well, preacher, that's pretty judgmental. Well, that's just Scripture. Why? It says that many will find the way to destruction, and only a few are going to find their way into eternal life. Don't be deceived. Worship the Father. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And thus the call of God that says, come away from your religious activity and have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. What's the difference? Well, religion will give you a lot of do's and don'ts. Religion will give you some activity. Religion will do a lot of things for your conscience on the outward side. But only a relationship with God would give you the true peace with God that you need down deep in your heart. The true relationship with God, whenever I walk out that door, it's not about the things that I do. Is it in line with what the church says and those things? But is it what God is saying? Now, if you're in the right church, they ought to be together, amen? But my focus should be on what does God say? What does God think? What does the Word say? What is the Spirit of God moving in your heart and in your life, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? That's a relationship. It's not that you just kind of visit God every now and then. Amen? But that you have a relationship. That when you walk out the doors of this church, God is just as real to you as He is when you're sitting in here. Amen? That it's just as real and vibrant, and the Holy Spirit is just as real and vibrant in your life as He is here. Now, I understand there is this synergy that God uses when people gather together in corporate worship. But what I'm saying to you is that when you walk out, friends, you should not be able to live a different way outside of those doors than you do inside these doors. Because you have a relationship. Because God loves you, and because He calls you to righteousness and holiness and godliness. Verse 24 says, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. You have to get right down to where the rubber meets the road. Amen. Where the Holy Spirit begins to deal with us, and we live according to the truth of the Word of God. It is the standard of truth. Where we believe it from cover to cover, and it makes a difference in our life. The woman saith unto Him, I know that when Messiah comes, that He is called Christ, and when He has come, He'll tell us all things. And Jesus said plainly unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. The call of God. It always confronts us with who we are and what we're doing and how we're living our life, with our sin and with our religious activities, but it always confronts us with our belief in who Jesus Christ really is. The call of God always confronts us in our belief. Who is Jesus? Jesus even asked His disciples that, didn't He? He said, who do men say that I am? And they listed off a whole list of names and titles and whatever else. But Jesus brought it right down to where it really mattered. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? You remember that response. Peter said, you are Christ, the Son of. You see, friends, we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'm not just worshiping a God. I'm not just worshiping an entity that mama taught me about, or that the preacher talks about, or the Sunday school teacher taught about. But I'm worshiping my Father, God. And it's true. And I can worship God the Father because I know His Son. And I know His Son because the Spirit revealed to me the call of God. And we can begin to receive those things. And upon this, the disciples came back, and they were wondering why He was talking to the woman, but they didn't dare ask Him. Amen. We'll leave that alone. Go to verse 28. And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city. The call of God not only confronts us, but it changes us. The call of God changes us. Friends, I want you to understand that as this woman, from where she was until this encounter with Christ and the call of God came in her life, she went from trying to hide her sin and wondering why she was He was even talking to her and being then confessing her sin, basically, I don't have a husband, and then about her religious activities. And when Jesus said, but I am the one, listen, all of a sudden things changed with her because she believed what He said. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And she began to believe in what she heard, and she received that message into the heart. And the Scripture teaches us that we believe with our heart and we confess with our mouth. When we call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by Me. We have to know Him. And when we do, friends, life changes for us. In fact, it means everything changes for us, because the Scripture says old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The Scripture says we are transformed, we're changed, we're translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light of His dear Son. Amen? There is something that happens within us, and if it's not something that changed you, friends, you missed it. changes us to the point that we can't go back. Some of us try, some of us have for a brief period of time, but the fact is that our nature gets so radically changed by the call of God when we believe in who He is, that He is the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lord that I need. Friends, when we truly believe that, if something changes so deep down within us that whenever I sin, the Holy Spirit says, "You have offended me." And it grieves my very character, and it grieves your character if you're a believer today. The call of God changes us to the point that we cannot continue life as it is. We can't continue to do the things that we've always done the way we've always done them, talk like we've always talked, and dress like we've always dressed, and all of those things. It changes our life. And I am thoroughly concerned for folks who go through a salvation experience and their life is not different. It changes us. It changed this woman's focus. The woman left her water pot. Amen. Did y'all get that? She left her water pot. That's what she came there for. That was her everyday routine. That was her everyday life. That was a necessity for her. And I'm not saying she didn't ever have to drink more water again, but that water pot symbolizes her old lifestyle. It symbolizes what she was and who she was in the past. She's a brand new creature in Christ Jesus as she believes upon Him. She leaves the water pot. Friends, every person that has ever been truly saved by the power of God has to leave the water pot. We have to understand that He's called us to a new way of life, a new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of even conceiving about the issues of life. He's called us to a higher plane. He didn't call us to pride and arrogance and all of those things, but He's called us to live in righteousness. He's told us to be holy because He's holy. He has called us to be one of His dear children, amen? And to live is that, and we have to leave the water pots to do that. It changes our focus as it changes our life. The Scripture says that we must believe Him with all of our heart. It changes the very intent of my heart, in that as I believe Him with all of my heart, then I'm simply able to trust Him. And He's able to lead me. The Scripture said in Proverbs 3 and 6 says, you know, if we acknowledge Him, He'll direct our paths. It changes our leadership. It changes our lordship. It changes the master. It changes the father. You know, the Scripture said that before we're saved, our father is the devil. Now, you'll have to argue with Jesus about that. But when we're saved, our father is God. When we are lost, friend, the sin has dominion over us, and it's our taskmaster. And yet when we are saved, we are freed from that, and the dominion of sin is broken, and we have the liberty to serve Christ. It changes us. And the woman left her water pot, and she went her way into the city. It changes our direction, amen? It changes where we're going. It changes why we're going there, amen? And which is the next thing I want you to see. The call of God challenges us. And I'm almost through, I promise. It challenges us. What happened to this woman? She believed. She believed, and all of a sudden, what mattered so much to her that morning or that afternoon, evening, actually, as she came and was going to get water, when she came there, that was the most important thing in her life. But now she's had this call of God. And now the water pot's not so important anymore. And she leaves that water pot and she goes. Her direction changed. Her focus changed. And then whenever she went into the city, she said, come see a man that told me all things that I did, that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they went out of the city and came unto him. Friends, the call of God challenges us to go. It challenges us to witness. It calls us to be a witness for him. Amen. She went, and immediately she went to telling folks, come see this man, the Christ, the Messiah. Did you get that? Come see this man who told me all things that ever I did. What did she say just previous to that? I know that when Messiah comes, he will what? Tell us all things. Don't you see that now she's embracing the Messiah, and she goes and she tells somebody, look, come see Messiah. Come see this one. Because you see, there's a drive. There's a challenge that's there, that as we receive salvation in our life, can't you see this woman went from a wretched sinner to a witness for Messiah, just like that. Amen? Why? She was challenged by the call of God. The call of God always challenges us. It always challenges us to get outside of ourselves. It always challenges us to further the gospel. It always challenges us to have God, the call of God, confront somebody else just like it confronted us. If it doesn't, something's wrong. It called her. I was thinking about it. She went from a mess to a missionary. Amen? I mean, it just changed her, and it challenged her to a new way of life. And so she went into the city. And many of the Samaritans, verse 39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the sayings of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. There's that verse again, that wording again. And so when the Samaritans came unto him, they besought him, and they wanted him to stay for 2 days, and he did. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that he is indeed Christ, the Savior of the world. Boy, it challenges us to go with a message, amen, and to go with faith. And as we give out that message, we become like Paul. Paul in Romans 1:16 said, I'm not ashamed of what? The gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, amen, or the Greek. Not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because we realize, friends, when it really happens to us, we realize that the call of God is made the difference in our life. It confronted us, it changed us, and it challenged us, and we have to go. Now, we may just go home to evangelize. Hello, are y'all with me? We may go across the street to evangelize, or across the road, as it might be, or down the road. We might go across the state. We might go across the country. We might go across the world. But wherever it is that we go, the call of God challenges us to go. And just as Jesus said to his disciples, go ye into all the world, amen. Teach them, make disciples of them, baptize them. Jesus, in that great sermon on the mountain, told those that were around, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. The scripture teaches us that we are to run the race. We are to walk in faith. It teaches us that we're to fight the good fight. Amen. You understand? Those are aggressive terms. It challenges us. The word of God, the call of God challenges us to go and give the gospel. You know, I'm real concerned about a Christian who says, you know what, I'm real private in my faith, and I just don't think it's right to ask somebody else about their belief. I just don't think it's right. Don't y'all look at me righteous. You know people just like that. Any area in your life that you have any passion for, when something significant happens in that area of your life, now you listen to me. If any area in your life that you are passionate about, if something significant in that area of your life happens, I guarantee you, you tell somebody about it, whether they want to hear or not. And what could be more important in this life than eternity for a soul? What is it? Now, can you be effective with everybody? Can you be that strong witness to everybody? No. But I promise you there's somebody that you can give the word to. There's somebody that you can share with. There's somebody that you can encourage. There is somebody that you can share the love of God with. There's somebody. Maybe we ought to pray for that opportunity. I've shared with you recently, the harvest is there. It's plentiful. It's all over. Jesus said, pray for laborers to come. Pray to be sent. Pray with expectation. Pray for opportunities. Pray for God to use you. Seek those opportunities. But we remember, folks are not saved because of our words, are they? No, we just point them to Jesus. Amen. Some believe because of what the woman said, but guess what? They went on to Jesus. Amen. Listen, when we begin to tell folks about the gospel and the call of God that has radically confronted us and changed us and challenged us, when we begin to tell them about it, friends, listen, we may pique their curiosity, but it's only when they come to Jesus can they feel that same experience in salvation. Amen. They said, you know what? We've heard him now ourselves. We are to be instruments and vessels of righteousness. Friends, we are to be a conduit of God's message through us and giving it out around us as we go. But listen, we're reminded of Zechariah 4:6 where it said, it is not by power or by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen? We're just an instrument in his hand. We're a vessel. But if the call of God has been extended to you, friends, listen. First of all, you need to make sure that you just receive that call with faith. And everywhere that call of God confronts you in life, you just confess it before him and lay yourself open to him and trust him as the Messiah that he reveals to you he is, the Savior, the Lord. And then, friends, listen. You watch God change your life and begin to change your ways and change your thoughts and change your motives and allow him to just have free reign and free rule in your life and watch God's blessings. Listen, if you're saved today and somewhere along the way you have taken that challenge of the call of God and you have suppressed it, and you said, you know what, I'm comfortable where I am. Now you didn't say this, but this is what you mean. I'm comfortable with where I am and what's going to happen to me. And if anybody else makes it to heaven, okay. If they go to hell, so what? Hello? I'm comfortable in where I am. And I, you know, me and my wife, we're both saved. And I think my children are saved. And, you know, everything's good. If anybody else wants to believe, that's all right. If they don't, well, that's just up to them. Listen, if you have become so lethargic that you have suppressed the challenge of the call and the word of God, you are sick spiritually. And you need a trip to this altar. Or you need a trip to an altar somewhere crying out to God, God, give me a passion. Because I promise you, you won't have to look far in your family or in your circle of friends or in some area of of influence that you have that people around you are lost and they're going to go to hell if they don't get saved. And if the Word of God and the Spirit of God doesn't challenge you anymore, you are ill spiritually. You say, well, preacher, that's pretty hard. Well, it's the truth. Because nowhere do I read in the Word of God, especially from the New Testament, does it say, get saved, sit, sour, and soak. Amen. Let's stand together. Come. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Maybe now is when you just need to answer the call. I promise you, the call of God is better than any call you ever expected to get. It's better news than any news you could ever receive. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for eternity. If you're lost today, the call of God says, come, come. Just like you are. Don't wait till you get better. Don't try to figure things out. Just come like you are and be saved. Listen, if you're saved, then the call of God has called you to live differently, to walk differently. If you've got sin issues, you need to come, repent, confess, get back right with God. If you're saved, listen, the call of God has challenged you. And if something is in your life that's caused you to lose that fire and passion and challenge of the Word of God in your life to share the good news with somebody else, friends, you need a trip to the altar. Cry out to God, God, refire in me. Now's the time. Now's the time. You'd be obedient to God, to the call extended to you.
Page 193.